Save your tools and pain. On Hit 92.9.
$200 for virtual trivia. That's coming up at 8:30 this morning, but right now...
A man who has the world's third best shortened name behind J-Lo and T-Swizz, the Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. Stop It himself.
Stop it.
Okay. Please welcome the Honourable Scott ScoMo Morrison.
Oh, Prime Minister, what a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for your time. How are you?
I'm good. Love the promo.
Now, Prime Minister, I'll lead off here. You've announced JobMaker, which is part of the reason why we've got you on this morning, but it's had a lot of fancy terms and words attached to it. But essentially, the idea is to start us on the process to get the Australian economy out of ICU. But for the average person just getting up right now, going about their day, getting the kids ready, heading off to work for their average job, what does JobMaker mean for them?
Well, look, JobMaker is a lot of things, but what it's all about is just actually having an economy which is strengthening so people can get back to work, so they can get more hours, so they can find jobs if they've sadly lost one over the course of this terrible pandemic. And there's a lot of things we've got to change, whether it's in how employees work together in their workplace and the rules that you have that govern where you work, how you work, all those sorts of things. It's about how much people pay for energy and ensuring the business can be competitive. It is so many different things. But what it's all designed to do is get Australians working together, people who haven't always worked together as best as they could, to make sure we're getting people back into jobs. That's the most important thing. And it could be everything from how more quickly governments can approve big projects and things like that, and building roads and all of these things. It's all designed to get people working right across the country.
Okay. Now, ScoMo, I think we're all blown away with the miscalculation of the JobKeeper. How do you think the Treasurer handled the miscalculation error?
Well, look, I think this is this is basically what happened. It's like if you're building a house, and let's say the builder came to you and they said, well, it's going to cost you $500,000, which is pretty steep, and borrowing that much money, it would really go, gosh. And then that's what the builder told you when you're starting the project. But as time went on, they've come back and they've told you, it's not going to cost that much now. It's going to cost you $350,000. And that's about the average price for building a house these days. And you'd go, well, I welcome that news. I mean, the fact that it's going to cost us less because the original estimate was a very conservative one. I mean, when they put this together and they told us how much it was going to cost, no one knew what the future held at that time. We can all look back several months ago and go, oh, yes, it was all going to turn out like it has. But that certainly wasn't the view several months ago. I mean, countries just like Australia have had death rates from coronavirus 100 times what we've had. So we were facing down the barrel of something absolutely horrific. And so, those costs were worked out before all that was happening. And so they erred on the cautious side. And so it means that Australians won't have to borrow as much money now as we were going to have to.
I was going to say, what happens to that money?
Well, we don't have to borrow it.
Yeah. Okay, so we didn't have it. All right, cool.
So why, sorry.
No, it wasn't down the back of the couch.
Oh, right.
It's back to the loaners.
So
interest-free
where
back.
Where else does it go to? But yeah, if we haven't borrowed it, then that makes
so
sense.
So, Prime Minister, why
were... we just don't have to borrow that much.
Why were you guys getting ripped about it then? Why were people so upset?
Well, the Labor Party seemed pretty upset. That's just politics.
Albo.
Bloody
Albo.
There's a gotcha politics thing here in Canberra and everyone likes to be clever about it. But at the end of the day, the original quote was very cautious, and what it came in as was a lot less. Over at the tax office, they had this little system to work out how it was going along, and there was a fault in that, and they fixed it. And the good news for taxpayers is we won't have to borrow as much money.
I was going to say,
everyone who should have got the payment is getting it. I want to make that clear. No one got a payment that shouldn't, or it didn't get a payment as a result of this.
They got what
they were entitled to.
I'd be barking mad if we're $60 billion over, mate, so it's not a bad thing. Hey, if you were Premier of WA, would you be advising to open the borders to interstate travel and business?
Well, look, I would, but that's a matter for Mark McGowan. There's no national health advice which is saying we should have internal borders. I know in the West, it's a pretty independent state. And keep things yourself and keep all those eastern staters out. But I get all that. But we need to open up our economy. I mean, Mark's done a great job, working together as part of the National Cabinet. He and I have worked very closely together to manage what has been an incredibly difficult situation. He made the call that he was going to close the state borders in WA. That wasn't a National Cabinet decision. Queensland did the same thing, so did South Australia and Tassie. But think the time has come now that we've got to start opening things up. But that's his call, and he can explain his reasons for it.
Prime Minister, can I take you back to that moment where you and your you and the government first got a bit of a taste that something was coming and it was going to be relatively dire and you're going to start having to put plans into place? Can you take us back to what that moment was like, if you remember exactly?
Well, I do, and I sadly remember it for a whole bunch of different reasons. I mean, the day that all of this happened was about the same time as my father passed away. Oh. And I was briefed by the head of the chief medical officer. And then the next day, on that day, I visited the incident response centre here in Canberra. That was the day my father passed away. And so I do remember it, obviously, for a lot of reasons, the seriousness of the coronavirus, but personally. And at that stage, people didn't really know how significant this was going to be. But our chief health officer moved before, you know, much of the rest of the world, and he said, this is serious, we've set this up and we're initiating the response plans. And then we ended up calling it being a global pandemic about 10 days, I think it was, before the World Health Organization did. But the day that I think it really became, it went to another level was the day we decided to close the borders to China in terms of people coming here from mainland China. Australian residents could obviously return, and, you know, we're flying flights into Wuhan to extract people and putting them into quarantine. And so it obviously went to a whole other gear at that point. But that was one of the most, if not the most important decision we made, because it meant we were able to resist that first wave that hit so many other countries around the world. And we got a later wave when Australians started coming back from all of those countries that didn't close their borders, largely. And then we've dealt with that successfully. So, you know, it just built up every day, but there was enormous uncertainty. You know, the prospect of what we were seeing in Italy and in places like that was truly quite, you know, very horrifying. And so it was a very sobering, and we can't be complacent now. The virus is still there. Mm-hmm. We've just got the protections in place. So download the COVID Safe app, please.
Definitely.
Safe, and it means we can keep opening up the economy.
Firstly, ScoMo, really sorry to hear about your dad passing as well. But what do you do to switch off? I mean, in times like these, I think you probably have one of the toughest jobs in the country at the moment.
The NRL starts tonight. And,
but what does ScoMo do to switch off and de-stress? Because I can only imagine just how stressful your position is.
Well, look, during that time, Jenny and the girls came down to Canberra, and I actually had my mum and my mother-in-law staying with us as well. So there was plenty of time to spend, you know, with the family, which is, in this job, you don't get as the opportunity to do that as much as you'd like to. So that's always been my first go-to, spend time together. Yeah. But, you know, a bit of cooking or a bit of reading. But and as you said, Sharkies are back on Saturday afternoon, so I'm pretty excited about the footy coming back on.
Damn the Sharkies.
And the AFL's not far behind it. So I think that's great. And congratulations to the NRL and the AFL for, you know, getting it sorted and getting it happening again.
How important is it when you sit at the National Cabinet to talk about the introduction of not only the professional sport, NRL, AFL, I mean, the horse racing's continued on, but community-level sport for the kids, you know, at school and the Oz Kickers around WA? How important it is getting sport back to the young tackers?
Oh, equally as important, if not more, because sport brings the whole community together, and it's a way of people connecting. Now, we've got to be careful, and I'm sure everybody will, and there's been some great work done by the Institute of Sport and the Sports Australia to ensure we've got good, clear rules for how people can get their sport up and running again in the community level. I'm looking forward to that for everyone around the country. It's just such a heartbeat for the country, how we engage in community sport. So that's moving along, and I really applaud everyone who's been involved, because there's so many volunteers. I mean, in the NRL and the AFL, yeah, they're professionals, and, you know, they've got bacon paper sports medicine and virologists and others to come and advise them. But, you know, if you're running the local netball club and you've got to work it out for, you know, Saturday to Saturday, that's, you know, that's a lot of volunteer effort getting across the detail. And to all those volunteers who are sitting around kitchen tables working that out at the moment, good on you.
Prime Minister, final one from me. We are on the phone to the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, at the moment. How often are you on the phone to other world leaders? And is there anybody in particular that you get along just like a house on fire with? You know, you get on the phone, hey, how's it going? What's been happening? Having a chat?
Oh, look, one of the things that's happened during this whole event is we've all been talking to each other a lot more regularly than we normally would. I mean, last night I was on a call with the Austrian Chancellor and the Israeli Prime Minister. Jacinda Ardern was on the call, Czech Republic, Norwegian Prime Minister. There's a lot of these groups that have formed, and that's a group of countries that are actually doing really well. And together, you know, down south, down under, we're doing the best of all of those. And so you're swapping a lot of notes. But, you know, I'm obviously talking to Jacinda a fair bit. And Boris Johnson, we talk a fair bit too, which is good. And obviously back in the United States. Shinzo Abe up in Japan, he's a great leader. And he's been around a long time. So he's got a lot of experience. And I've always had a very good relationship with him. And up in Indonesia, of course, Jokowi, Joko Widodo, they've got a tough job there. I mean, it's such a massive country.
Mm.
And then across the Pacific, of course, our Pacific family, and I think of them just like family, you know, the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea, James Marape, and all the rest of them, we stay in close contact because they've got, you know, they've got a much tougher job because of their health systems not obviously being like ours.
How nervous are you, mate, with the relationship between Australia and China?
Look, we've just got to focus on what it's about, and it's about mutual benefit. And in Western Australia, you benefit greatly from that relationship, and we want to keep trading. But at the same time, we've got to be who we are, and we haven't done anything to offend that relationship. We've just, you know, pursued our interests, and we'll continue to do that. And there'll be problems from time to time, and we'll deal with those on a case by case basis. I don't sort of link it to other things, but Australia's just going to be who we are. We're not going to trade that away for short-term gain, and I don't think Australians would want us to.
Now, ScoMo, one last question from me, and something I've always wanted to ask you, especially seeing you on TV.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's going to be a big one.
When it comes to music, do you prefer to listen to Cardi B or Nicki Minaj?
I prefer to listen to Tita Arena.
Cardi B, then.
Very cool. Thanks very much, ScoMo. And good luck to the Sharkies this year, mate.
Very good. Thanks for having me on the program. It was good to talk to you.
Thank you, Prime Minister Scott Morrison there on Hit 92.9 at Xavier, Jules and Pete. You'll be able to get that chat if you missed it and just joined us on the catch up at hit.com.au a little bit later on today. 23 minutes away from 7.
Xavier, Jules and Pete. On Hit 92.9.